song of comfort if you heard the message in it. All right, go back with me to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6 and verse 5. It says they chose Stephen, a man full of faith. A man full of faith. Now, what I don't want to do this morning is glorify a man. I don't want to do that. I want to hold a man up for you to worship or adore or attribute anything to him. What Stephen had, this faith, power, was given to him from above. What I do want to honor Stephen, though. The Lord did greatly honor him. We'll see that in the end. What I do hope to do is glorify the Lord and his power, which produces a man like Stephen. A man full of faith. Now, the 11 apostles saw a need to have deacons. The word is not used here, but it is used over in Philippians and 1 Timothy to ordain deacons. Now, the word deacon means this. The word deacon means one who waits upon others. A waiter. And verse 3, this was why they chose them, to serve tables. So a deacon was a table waiter. Something how men make lofty positions out of things, don't they? He's a table waiter. That's what these men were. Stephen was a table waiter. The word apostle means messenger. One who's sent with a message. Kind of like a paper boy. A messenger. But this man, Stephen, was a deacon, an attendant, a waiter. And yet the Scripture says he was full of faith and the Holy Ghost. Verse 8 says he was full of faith and power and did great wonders and miracles. Verse 10 says those who disputed with him were not able to resist the wisdom. He's full of wisdom and the Spirit. He had an irresistible spirit or attitude. No matter. And the last verse says those who looked at him saw he looked like an angel. And doesn't that just amaze you? My, what a man. Huh? I do want to be like this man. But I hope we'll see that there are some just like him. They are. This is the scriptural definition of a great man. A table waiter. This is the loftiest position that a man can attain to, according to Scripture. A table waiter. Servant. Isn't that what the Lord said? This man, Stephen, was not wise after the flesh. He wasn't trained in the schools where the scribes and Pharisees were. No. He was not mighty, or that is, mighty in political power and influence or riches and all that. He was mighty toward God, though. He was rich in faith. He was not noble. You notice his father's name is not given. We don't know where he came from, Ron. We don't know who's Stephen. He might have been an orphan. We don't know. It doesn't give his pedigree, his lineage. Just Stephen. He's a great man. Great man. Not noble. Don't even know his parents. He's a nobody. He's a nobody from nowhere, a base and lowly table waiter and a servant. And yet, a great man, full of faith, before whom none could stand. All these doctors and lawyers. Does he remind you of somebody? Nobody could stand before his wisdom. None could refute his wisdom. Look at Luke chapter 12 with me. The Gospel of Luke chapter 12. This was God's man. And he's not a self-made man, as we said earlier. He's a God-made man. God gave him everything he had, this faith, this power. God sent him. God equipped him. God was with him. The Lord Jesus Christ was with him and greatly used him and honored him. He's just a lowly servant. But he's a chosen man. Like the apostles, a man chosen by God, called by God, given faith, faith of God's elect, given the Spirit of God, like all the people of God. If we be without this Spirit of God, we're none of his. There's one Lord and one faith. All the people of God have this faith. Stephen is not a super man. He's a table waiter. He's just a man. But he's full of this God-given faith. Full of by this God-given faith, which is by the grace of God. He believed God and he believed Christ, like all of God's people. Look here at Luke chapter 12. Now, the Lord sent out 70 disciples back in chapter 10, along with the 12. The 12 were sent out. He also chose 70. We believe that Stephen was one of those. And often, the Lord had disciples around him, and there were many more than just the 12. So Stephen was around all the time listening to the Lord. And he heard him say this. Luke 12, verse 4. He said, I say unto you, my friends. He called them friends. Be not afraid of them that kill the body. And after that, they have no more that they can do. And he went on down in verse 7. He said, the very hairs of your head are numbered. Meaning, your God's on the throne. I reign and rule. Nothing can move. Nothing can harm a hair of your head. Unless I will it. Stephen heard that. You did too. Verse 8 and 9, he says, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. Verse 11, he said, they'll bring you to the synagogues of the magistrates and power. Take ye no thought how or what thing you shall answer or what you shall say. The Holy Ghost shall be given you, teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. Stephen heard that. He heard that. He believed that. I believe you, Lord. I believe. He said, so the Lord said, you confess me, and I'll confess you. I'll honor you. And even if your life seems in danger, well, I need to hear this, don't you? Even if your life is in danger, fear not. Even if they kill you, that's all they can do. That's all they can do. And so, Stephen believed. A nobody from nowhere, a tableware. And when the time came, he stood up. Everybody against him. You know, I believe it's so with every one of God's people. I know it is. I know it is. Given the opportunity, if pressed, and forced into a position where it's either deny the Lord or own Him. I believe it's so. Would you, let me ask you, would you die defending your children? In a heartbeat. Wouldn't you? Would you die defending your spouse or your parent? Huh? Somebody was dishonoring them and you were right there. And would you? How about your Lord? There's not many opportunities. I know we've denied it. I know that. I have. We all have. Not spoken when we probably should have. And we're all ashamed of that. But there have been times, there will come a time, perhaps, Lord willing, that when we are given an opportunity to really confess Him. And the Lord must give grace. He will. I remember, and I'm just telling you this because it wasn't me. When I was a young brakeman on the railroad, a young believer, we were in a lunch room and there were many, many men in there eating lunch, and they were carrying on. And one fellow in particular was a loud mouth, one of these jokesters. You know, he just loved the center of attention. And they got on the Bible or something. They were talking about Scripture. And that jokester, that loud mouth, said something so blasphemous about the Lord Jesus Christ. Something about if He were here, He'd be telling dirty jokes or something. It just cut me like a knife. And I stood before that whole room of people and said, "You're on dangerous ground here. You're talking about the holy, spotless Son of the Most High God. Make fun of your mother. Make fun of your father. Don't make fun of Him." I didn't have that boldness. I denied Him before that, but I was given one opportunity. I couldn't be silent. And I don't believe you could either. Could you? Don't believe so. I know not. That's just faith. Faith of God's elect, love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, old Stephen, he was a servant. Does he sound familiar? Look at chapter 12 again. Look down at verse 37. The Lord said, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that He, the Lord Himself, shall gird Himself." Listen to this. The Lord Jesus Christ, those servants, He will gird Himself and make them to sit down to meet, and He will come forth and serve them. The Lord says, when I come, all those who confess Me, I will make them sit down, and I'm going to get up, and I'm going to serve them. Wait on tables. Does that amaze you? That just amazes me. The Lord wasn't exaggerating, and this wasn't a figure of speech. We'll see that. Did not He say, "He that is greatest among you, let him be your servant"? Didn't He? He said over in Luke 22, He said, "Which is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth?" They were sitting at a table, He and His disciple. And He said, "Which is greatest?" You know, they were arguing among themselves who was the greatest. He said, "Which is greatest? He that sits at meat and people wait on Him, or the one doing the waiting, the servant?" He said, "He that sitteth at meat, the master," whatever. But He said, I'm among you as one that serveth. I came down, He said, not to be ministered unto. Though I'm greater than all, I'm from above. I came to minister, to serve. Would you look at that with me? John 13. John chapter 13. John chapter 13. I'm building to something here. I read where the Lord said, "Those servants of mine, I'm going to get up and serve them. I'm going to serve them. Honor them." John chapter 13. You know this story, don't you? The Lord washing feet. Well, when was this? This is right before the Lord is going to the cross. He has the weight of the world on his shoulder. You talk about responsibilities laid on him. God laid on him the iniquity of us all. The weight of the salvation of all God's people from time to eternity was dependent on him going to that cross and accomplishing this so great salvation. Being made sin for us. Putting away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Talking about weighty matters pressing down. Yet, what's he doing? Look at it. Right before that, it says in verse 4, he riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, took his coat off, his robe off, and then perhaps his shirt to keep it from getting wet. He looked like one of these house servants. Laid aside all of that, took a towel, wrapped it around him, poured water in a basin, kneeled down in front of a bunch of lowly fishermen and began to wipe their dirty, stinking feet. And even Peter couldn't stand it, could he? Oh, Lord, don't do that. Don't do that. Stoops down. Oh, what a picture that is of our Lord laying aside His glory and His honor. He that was rich, yet for our sake became poor. He who was high, yet for our sake became lowly. He said, take my yoke upon you, serve us, and learn of me. I am a servant. Now look at what he says here. This is wonderful. Verse 13, he says, you call me Master and Lord, you say well, for so I am. Monty, you see why we call him what we call him? He said, that's who I am. And that's what you call me. Lord. Not just Jesus. That's a man, isn't it? Like us. You call me Master. You call me Lord. That's who I am. Read on. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. I've given you example that you should do as I've done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Servant's not greater than his Lord, neither is he that sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, listen. If you know these things, if you know this blessing of what it is to serve, happy. You're so happy. Are you? You'll be happy. And so the Lord, he said this, didn't he? So the Lord, while he was stooped down, washing stinking feet, he's smiling. He's happy. He's humming a tune. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, bless the Lord. Yes, he's happy. Happy are you if you do. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. See, if we serve ourselves, that's somebody that'll never be happy. We can never make ourselves happy. This man is an insatiable, lusty, mean man. He's a hard taskmaster, and he will not be happy with anything. But our Lord promised, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Oh yeah, you give, you can't outgive the Father. Over Malachi 3, he says, prove me. That's what he said. God said, prove me. You give and you just watch me give back. You serve, he says, and I will serve you. God's not unrighteous. He does what he said. And so our Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest of the great King of kings, Lord of lords, yet the greatest servant who ever lived. Wasn't it? Oh, do you not love these verses? He, let this mind be also in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. We, you know, every human being wants to be somebody, wants to be something. We want to have a great reputation. He whom angels praise made himself of no reputation. And took upon him the form of a servant. It says, in the likeness of men, nobody's ever condescended the way he did. He said in the Psalms, I'm a worm. He said, I've become a worm. For him to become a man was like for us to become a worm. And it says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. We don't, you know, we don't have to make ourselves of no reputation. We're doing our best to keep it from coming out. Trying to shore up a bad reputation. He had to make himself, humble himself. And he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That was reserved for the worst scum of the earth, the cross. Yet it says he, for the joy set before him. Hebrews 12. John, for the joy set before him. What? Owning his children. Confessing his children. Not ashamed to call them brethren. Every one of them are ashamed of him. Every one of them are ashamed of him. But he thought nothing of it. Stripped naked, hung on the cross, bearing his sin. Father, forgive them. They're just children. I don't know what they're doing. Take me instead. For a good man, for a righteous man, for the ungodly, for sin. That's what Christ did. My. Humbled himself, went to the cross, reserved for the worst of the worst, though he did nothing wrong. Wherefore, it says, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus of Nazareth, every knee will bow now. Since he stooped lower than any man, God put him higher than any man. Since he bent down, way down, and served, everyone will serve him, his glory, his honor. My. Well, here's Stephen. And our Lord said, those who serve me and serve mine, I will serve. So here's Stephen. Go back with me to the text. He's a man full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? Full of wisdom, full of power. What does that mean? Full of faith. You know, there's strong faith. There's strong faith. The Scriptures exhorts to that. There's weak faith. But faith is, all faith is saving faith given by God. There's much faith and there's little faith. I know that. But there's no such thing as part faith. Half faith. It's all full faith. Now listen to me for your own comfort. This comforted me. Let me ask you, do you just partly believe that God is God? Any doubt? Maybe somebody else is in control. Do you, Sherry? Can you say with absolute certainty that? Would you stand before a crowd of people and if asked you, do you believe God is God? Or would you? You're full of faith. Here's what it is to be full of faith. Just to believe God. Believe God. Believe God is God. Just to love God as God. Faith love of the truth is faith. Not just believe it, but to love it. Do you not love God being God? I ask you this all the time, don't you? This gives me comfort. Because I feel like so faithless, so weak in it. But do you love, Nancy, that God Almighty reigns and rules and controls, that God is God and no one else is? Do you love that? You want it to be so? Great is thy faith, O woman. There's a widow woman with no less faith than a Syrophoenician. Do you believe God's word? Here's faith. Believe God's word. God said it, and that's the truth. I believe, do you believe God is true and every man is a liar? Let God be true. I believe this is the word of God, the wisdom of God. Do you? That this is wisdom from above, and the wisdom of this world is utter foolishness. Do you believe that? Do you, Dan? Dan Over. If standing before a crowd of people, could you say, I believe that God and God alone is truth, and His Word is true wisdom, and all that man says and believes and holds to is a pack of lies and a bunch of foolishness? Would you say that if they pointed a gun at your head? There's a man full of faith. Where'd you get that? Dan, I knew a day when you did not believe that. You thought what I just said was a pack of foolishness. Didn't you? You told your wife. You're going to let some other fella bury you. I'll come to church with you, but when I die, I'm going to let old so-and-so bury me. Had that happened, the dead would have buried the dead. But God. For His great love, worth He loved. See, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, Dan, but the Father which is in heaven. No man knoweth the Father but the Son, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father and He to whom He will reveal them. Faith believes God's Word. Faith believes God's Son. And by that I mean, believes that Jesus Christ is salvation. 100%. Not partly. Here's what it is to be full of faith. I believe that Jesus Christ is made unto me wisdom. I don't know the law. I don't know every jot and tittle of the law, but by His knowledge, John, of the law, shall the righteous servant justify me? Yes, by keeping every law for me. I believe that. Not a doctrine. It's my hope that He knew what God required and He kept it. Made unto me wisdom. I see in Him the wisdom of God and the power of God. Righteousness. I believe everything about me is wrong. I believe if God accepts me, it's because I'm in Him and Him alone. You believe that? You believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord your righteousness. That all of yours are filthy rags. That you're like old blind Bartimaeus. When you saw Him and heard this gospel, you cast these rags away and ran to Him. Have mercy on me, Lord. Cover me in Your robe of righteousness. Do you believe that? Made unto me sanctification and redemption. Do you believe that if you get to glory someday, if you're in the presence of God, holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in God's sight, it'll be because Jesus Christ paid for your sins, all of them, and washed you from all sin and iniquity. Period. Do you believe that with all your heart and all your mind and all your... Do you? Well, I'm finding... Look at here. There's a bunch of people in here full of faith. Imagine that. This is all Stephen did, brother. It's great, isn't it? It says when he did great wonders, this message he preached, and it was a wonder that he could stand up before this crowd and preach as he did. They were going to kill him. That's a miracle. Skin for skin, Job said. Man will save his skin, not Stephen. No, sir. Do you believe that Christ is all all your hope? Do you really? Do you really? That's what it means, be full of faith. One Lord, one faith. And He was faithful. I tell you this too, a man full of faith is a merciful man. It says He was full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. Spirit of God gives this fruit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. He was a peacemaker, Tammy. He was a man of peace. He said, I'm for peace, they're for war. When He was in the spirit by which He preached this message, they looked on His face like the face of an angel. Oh, Lord, help me. Help me preach with the face of an angel. Huh? Help me talk to other people like an angel. He did. He was so kind with it. But firm, resolute. He could look in their face and say, you're uncircumcised, you're stiff-necked and hard-hearted and uncircumcised. You do always resist. He could say that with conviction. And they needed it, didn't they? They needed it, as do we. Like old Joseph, remember, he spoke hard to his brethren. He had love in his heart. But it was firm. They needed it. They needed convicted of their sin. That's the message that this generation needs. Conviction of sin. His whole message from start to finish was of God's goodness, God's mercy. God chose Abraham, revealed Himself to Abraham, gave him a family, and yet every one of them were rebels. This was Stephen's whole message, the message of all the Scripture. They're all a bunch of rebels. Everything God did for them, they rebelled again. They rejected Abraham. They rejected Moses. They rejected Joseph. And finally, the Son of God came, and they rejected Him too. This is the message Simon Peter preached at Pentecost. And the same message that pierced the hearts of those people, you see. And they cried out for mercy. Same message by Stephen. It says it grieved them in their heart. It says they cut to the heart. Well, that was his message. But he did it in love. He did it in with a spirit of long-suffering. A man full of faith is a merciful man. When they were beating his brains out, he's asking the Lord to forgive them. Man, my. Does that remind you of somebody? That's a Christ-like man. That's a faithful man. And it's so. I look into the face of angels. I do. Don't you think that? Brother Henry, don't you think that when you look at your brethren? Don't you think they're the salt of the earth? They're angels. Don't you? You really do. And you look in the faces, the countenances, the unregenerate of the world, it's hard, bloody men, violent. Aren't they, Sam? You see one of the brethren, is it like an angel? Really? I told Brother Norm Wells was here. I don't know if you know him, but Rupert Rivenbart, Betty, Mike Walker was here. We all ate lunch together. And Norm Wells from out in California, sweet man, he's preaching this morning for Brother Rupert. I hope you can hear him, meet him someday. Anyway, that's just the salt of the earth. We entertained angels, didn't we? Oh, my. No less than Abraham and Sarah entertained those angels, those three men. We did the same. Rupert, Norm, and Mike. No. St. Henry. And I told them, when they were leaving, I said, I've entertained angels, and I'm fully aware of it.
And I thank you men for gracing my house. I meant it. Don't you? God's people, they are. They're full of faith. They don't acknowledge it. But our Lord, remember when our Lord said He... Now listen, hang on here. This is wonderful. We're going to end this with a shout. Our Lord said, He that confesseth me before men, him will I confess before the angels in glory. He said, He that sitteth, that serveth mine, I'll serve them. He that taketh a stand for me, our Lord said, I'll stand up for him. You'll not be alone. Oh, that gives me hope. Well, look it down at verse 55. So when they heard these things, they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and he saw the glory of God. What did he see? Have you seen it? Have you seen the glory of God? Where is it, John? A face of the Lord Jesus. He saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Look at it. And behold, he said, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. He's about to die. A violent death. A painful death. The most horrible death, shameful death. It says he looked up and saw glory. He said, I see the Lord God, Lord, the Son of Man standing, mind you, standing. Scripture said, He whom God exalted, it says, when he had by himself, said he, being the brightness of God's glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sin, Scripture says he sat down at the right hand of God. Jesus Christ sat down at the right hand of God, where he reigns and rules, King of kings and Lord of lords, where the angels come, said that all the angels come and bow before him that sitteth on the throne. He's seated. And everybody up there is seated with him. There's Mephibosheth. There's Abraham. They're all seated. There's a king on his throne. There he sits. Well, here one table waiter confesses it. And Jesus Christ stands up. And when the king stands, everybody stands. Oh, you don't remain seated when the king rises. All rise, the king said, in honor of my great servant. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Now, well, look at this. Oh, look at this. Look at this. Look at this. It says they cried out. They couldn't stand what he was saying. They cried out and stopped their ears and ran upon him. Verse 58, cast him out of the city, grabbed hold of him, laid hold of him, stoned him. And here's another story. They laid their coats down at a young fellow named Saul. He was right in the middle of it, gnashing his teeth. He never forgot this. Ooh, that guy, he never forgot it. Oh, man. But anyway, it says they stoned Stephen. They were calling out for his death. He's calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He kneeled down calmly. They are taking rocks. He's dying a violent death. And they're all of them, they want him dead. And when he died, they didn't quit throwing him. Bashing his brains out. Says he calmly kneeled down and fell asleep.
Scripture said, our Lord said, mark the perfect man. The end of that man is
peace.
He's going to die a peaceable death that passeth understanding. Though it's a violent death, it's victorious. Though all the world are against him, heaven's for him. Though the whole world cries out for his death, heaven's waiting for his new life. Though it's the most painful death of all, it's peace. He fell asleep. He giveth his beloved sleep. Like the Lord, like a father putting his baby in the bed and cover making his bed. They're there now. Rest in peace. Isn't that something? And then in a moment, twinkling of an eye, pain, hatred, sin, corruption, this awful, this awful what he just left. He's changed. He's in glory. He walks into glory. Yes, 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 yes. He walks into glory. And the Son of God himself greets him and says, sit down. Sit down. Right there. Right there. Right there beside me. Sit right down. And he takes some bread and some wine and he serves him. He says, here now. Everybody else bring him something. He's home. He's home to stay. I see the Son of Man standing for a table waiter. Isn't that amazing? And old Stephen, oh, he was amazed, wasn't he? I just did. Just did what everybody else did. And there he sits. There he sits right now. I see heaven open and I see him, a multitude. And I see the likes of, now he, I see the likes of seated with him, Mephibosheth. He's right there. He stood up, Stan. Old Mephibosheth stood up. He's got good legs now. I see not the best men on earth. I see the thief on the cross. I see Mary Magdalene. I see Zacchaeus. I see Virgin John. She said, I can't do nothing. There she sits. Ellen Braylon, who faithfully took a stand, didn't you? Didn't you? I see the likes of table waiters, truck drivers, sewers, seamstress. I see them, don't you? The Son of Man himself, the Son of God himself, waiting on them. What can I get you? That's amazing. All right, let's stand, or let's sing in closing. Yeah, let's stand. In closing, what number? I didn't write it down. 454. We'll sing the first and last verse.